He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hide is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Right here means Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Will let you know all that's going on with what he provides, college and pro. Nobody provides the information, pro and college, including the draft, including the recruiting, like he does. He combines it all. He's got a new Twitch channel we can talk to you about as well. Chris, here's a question that has come up, and I don't really have a good answer for it. And this is from Tim on Twitter. Says, is there a rumor or a thought about the SEC schedule announcement? Because I think, Chris, we thought it would be this week. And, again, it's only Thursday. Maybe it is. But do you know anything more?
No, I don't. I mean, I've heard different things. I just don't know, you know, if there's anything definitive
right.
About how that's going to play out. So I would suspect that we'll know something this week.
Yeah, because and a couple of angles here. One thought is they'll take the teams that are rolling onto the schedule into the future and just add them. But then the SEC said earlier in the week, well, we'll see. We're not sure. But if you want to stay away from controversy, Chris, wouldn't you just add those teams? Because then you're not selecting and then people are accusing you of favoritism.
Yeah, well, you're going to get, if you just add them, you're going to get that whoever doesn't like their schedules, you know, and there are going to be some imbalances. I mean, not every team is equally as strong, so you're going to have imbalances in your schedule, and people are going to say, well, that's, you know, they're favoring, you know, Team A, and they're, you know, they're giving a Team X a pass. So, no, it's not an easy situation, which is, by the way, why they're saying, you know, we'll see, and I'm sure they're trying to figure and sort through all that.
Aliquippa Bob says, Bill, please ask Chris how difficult he thinks it's going to be for Penn State to re-scheme their defense since Micah Parsons is gone.
Well, they're not going to re-scheme it. He's a really good player, obviously. You know, and we've now got, you know, a handful of guys. Is when Caleb Farley came out, he was the first one. We've got a handful of guys now that are pretty good prospects that are coming out, and they won't be the last. I said that when it happened, but no, you can't re-scheme anything. You can't do that. It's not possible to re-scheme it at this stage. But what you have to do is ask more of the guys that are there. Certainly. Losing a guy with his experience and his talent certainly hurt you, but you've got to move on without him, just as if he's, you know, was leaving as a pro prospect last year. That's kind of how way it works.
Chris, I know that you are careful when asked about players and projecting way off in a draft about numbers and all that, but in general, could Micah Parsons be the first defensive player taken?
Oh, no.
He's not that, okay.
And linebackers are not going to go that high. You know, true linebackers, edge rushers can. But no, he'll be a good player. He'll be a first-round pick, but you know, there'll be some guys that are going to be good edge rushers that can rush the passer that are going to go higher. So those are bigger priorities. There'll be some corners. But I think if you start looking at the linebackers, he's in that group amongst the elite. In fact, I would put him at the top of the linebacker group along with Dylan Moses, assuming he's healthy, amongst the linebackers. But you don't see true linebackers go number one.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wasn't thinking about the commodity list there of defensive end pass rusher versus a linebacker.
I think there's a chance he can go top 10.
And, right.
You know, that's
which is really good.
And that'll depend on a number of things. But, you know, when people say, well, top 10, where you're great and where you're taking are two different things. So who comes out, who's available in the draft? You could be a player that is given a top 10 grade and go 20 because they've got more of those guys, and if more of those guys with those high grades are at a more premium position, that's going to knock you down. Less of them, that's going to move you up. It doesn't make you better or worse. It's just when it comes to stacking, where you get drafted is your grade relative to everybody else's grade, and then the stacking process begins. But the stacking process doesn't begin until everybody's given their grade, and we don't even know who everybody is in the draft, which is why when people say this guy is a top 10 pick, this guy is a first round pick, they're people that are writing in the media that really don't know. They're just guessing. And you know, certainly if I were to say a guy like Farley and a guy like Parkins, a guy like Bateman, we're talking about guys that have certainly top two round potential in terms of Parsons, in terms of Farley, but you know, where exactly is going to, you know, be relative to others.
West Coast Sooner asks here on Twitter, do you think UConn football will be done for good after this season? He says, I'm surprised we haven't heard more of players from that program that are in the transfer portal.
Well, I knew they were in trouble, first of all, for that, because, you know, they have a hard time getting a schedule together. And it's when they lose what they had, when they lost their conference status, it just was going to be difficult for this year. I don't think so. They put some money a few years ago into the facility, so I don't think that's going to happen. And I think that while there's not big money to be made, there is money to be made, you know, in terms of being able to fray some of those costs. And I do think that they have a vision of being competitive. So I don't think that's going to happen, but you know, we're all in a wait-and-see situation for a lot of programs. But programs like that, it's a fair question.
Yeah.
I think the one thing would be if it got so bad, they could go down a level, which they were. They moved up the level. So, you know, get rid of the program, no. But go down a level, I guess, is always a possibility if things get worse financially.
It was pointed out yesterday, Chris, 10 years ago, they were in the Fiesta Bowl. And now they're a program that not only is not very good, but they're not even playing this year. How about that?
Yeah, no, they lost. I mean, you know, they again had success and built upon that.
Right.
Got facilities made, look pretty good. I mean, like you can, you know, if you look at their facilities, for example, as opposed to say, you know, and Temple's done some things that are different, but you know, you could make a case that things are, you know, looking up in potential. And I don't mean potential like they're going to get a chance to get into P5 conference, because that's not the case. But not even having some of the schools in even – and I realize that geographically it doesn't make sense, but a lot of these conferences don't make sense geographically anyway. The fact that they lost status and even at the G5 level,
right?
You know, that is definitely a precipitous drop.
Vol Nation says, ask Chris if he likes the SEC's decision to not remove divisions for this year like the ACC did.
You know, we talked about it last week. My concern is that you're going to potentially delegitimize your conference if you have suspended or canceled games, meaning you have a division champion when it's really inadequate, meaning you've got canceled games. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, you can potentially delegitimize your conference champion, but if you've got them all in one group, so to speak, you've got a better chance to kind of label who's been the best team. But you start doing it by division, you know, it's the same thing, I guess, from a divisional standpoint. But I think, to me, I think it's a matter of logistics, a matter of scheduling. So I don't know, quite frankly, what I would have done in this situation. And this is trying to get everybody comfortable with the current environment. I'm not sure that I would have done it that way, but I don't know that it's necessarily the worst thing.
I'm thinking the ACC only did this because of the addition of Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, it was the major factor because they're not in the division, but they're in the race. Well, how are you in the race? Well, you got to remove the divisions.
Right.
The ACC didn't have that. And, you know, again, so let's say you have a weird situation where you've got a weird what I mean a weird division champion, a division champion that really is eye-raising and only is a byproduct of, you know, some canceled games or just a spread of an onslaught of a really powerful team within it, and it could give somebody in a division a free kick into the conference championship game, which, you know, I don't know that that would be – I think they probably would regret it at that point. Whereas if you're taking all the teams, I think you can probably come up with, in this year, a better look at who the two best teams are with an overall look. But let's just be positive and hope that there's not many canceled games or, you know, to where it basically, like I say, delegitimizes what you have. I think to some degree this whole season is going to be delegitimized because I just think it's going to be abnormal. And I don't know if I'd go so far as to say people are going to put a asterisk by it, but the reality is it's just, you know, we don't know what this is going to look like, and I'm sure people will look at the end, particularly people with teams that are really heavy-handed are going to say, well, you know, if it wouldn't have been for all of this bad luck with the COVID, we would have been here or there. I think we're going to have more of that this year than we normally do.
The story about Jake Garcia out of California transferring literally now, Chris, literally from one coast to the other coast to Valdosta is something else. Now, again, California announced a while back that we're not going to have fall football, fall sports, what have you. But how about that, man? You're going literally – that's almost like a pro-type situation from California to South Georgia to play high school ball for one semester.
Yeah, where have we gone to where? We've got college free agency. Now we've got high school free agency. Isn't it amazing? That's not a change of things. Interesting because, first of all, the kid's an outstanding talent. We've got, in fact, working on the California report that go up on LandryFootball.com by position. This kid can really play. He's good. Good get. I don't get any sense that he's wavering from the USC commitment. However, you got to wonder, why is he doing this? And he's certainly not to prove himself to earn a scholarship. He's got that.
Right.
If he's, you know, so he's either doing it just because, you know, I want to have my senior season. Well, that is normal. Of course, you want to have it. But to go and move across the country, I'm not aware of any family connection. So basically, it's like he's going to go and spend his senior year with a bunch of strangers that, again, he'll get to know them and develop friendships. But it's not like you're going to spend high school with your classmates that you've had for years. So it's kind of a weird situation. And you just wonder if that change of location might spur some interest in him opening up his recruitment. I'm just wondering. I don't know anything. I'm just wondering if that might take place by sometime in the fall before December.
Well,
by the way, I'm a big believer that we need to move that early signing day back. We're going to have conference championship games on the same weekend. We got to look at the entire calendar.
Chris Landry with us. We'll get some more here after the break with him. Let you know how you can get all his information, including his brand new Twitch channel, which is loaded with talent. We'll get to that here after the break on this Thursday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. The fire department's on the scene of this crash with injuries at Hamilton Church Road in Mountain View Road. It's really busy now, leaving Nolensville, making your way northbound on Nolensville Pike up to Concord Road. Traffic through Brentwood Franklin on the increase as well out here on 65 going north. Princess Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration says while teens enter the road with lots of excitement and good intentions, they also have the least experience behind the wheel. Combine this with texting and the situation can turn dangerous quickly. Remind your teens, stay alive, don't text and drive. This message is from the crew at Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, your stained glass experts serving the Nashville area, specializing in new construction, repairs, and restoration, residential and commercial. Give Butch a call at 615-308-3447. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, wishing everyone a safe end of summer and back to school season.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference, like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you struggling to feed your family? If your family gets free or reduced price school meals, you may qualify to receive money for groceries through the PEBT program. Visit TennesseeMeals.com or call 866-311-4287. The deadline is soon. That's TennesseeMeals.com, 866-311-4287. Brought to you by this station, the Tennessee Justice Center, and the Tennessee Department of Human Services.
Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. We'll let you know how you can get all of his information. It's quite detailed. Here's another one on Twitter from John. Says, ask Chris how many NFL teams would value Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech, who opted out, as a mirror technique cornerback, Chris.
Oh, he's got, you know, ability to be particularly a press man cover. He's got some ability to play off pretty effectively. No, I think he's really good. I think he's a guy that can be very effective. I don't think he's what I would call elite in terms of great turn and run. I don't think he's ideal if he had to go inside, for example, and handle the two-way goes, but he's still pretty good, and he's got enough length and strength to be really good outside. So he's a very good corner, and certainly on my watch list, as we put it, up on LandryFootball.com. We've got some guys that, but you know, if I were looking at him, he's one of quite a few. You know, you've got Surtain at Alabama. You've got the kid at South Carolina, McComo and Campbell and Georgia and Wade at Ohio State. So you've got he's really good, but you've got four or five guys that are in that category that are as good as he is, at least going into the season, based upon the film exposure and the in-person exposure.
Chris is so knowledgeable about the draft. Chris once ran the draft. You were part of the actual putting on of the draft years ago, right?
Ran the combine and certainly with the Orioles.
Yeah, the combine. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, we did that. Ran that the combine for years. Absolutely. And certainly just doing right now consulting work for teams. But, yeah, certainly coordinating all the scouting department, the Oiler and Titan days, yeah.
I know one size doesn't fit all. But in general terms, players who opt out, is that a negative in any way for a scout or a team?
I think this year – it's a new – I mean, we have to look at it. I think you got to look at it situation by situation. So,
right.
In a general sense, if a player's opting out, forget about the player for a second on the field. Why is he opting out? Well, we know why they're opting out now. But if a player were to opt out, or let's just call it like it is, some people would phrase it, quit on his team in the middle of the season. And we've had some do that. Just say, hey, you know, I'm sitting out. That was considered a negative. Going up in this business, somebody that would not play in a bowl game, are you kidding me? That would be a red flag. Now it's kind of accepted. So, you know, you have to look at each individual situation of what is their character, their work ethic, or their team guy. All those things matter a great deal. But in terms of the football part, which I think is maybe more of what you're asking, so you've got a great player that's played enough ball and he's got enough film, you know, he is not going to be as negatively affected, obviously, as somebody that's still got more to prove. So if you haven't put that film out that's going to really increase your grade and put your grade where you think it should be, well, then certainly sitting out's going to hurt you. You know, to have a Micah Parsons in this situation – I'd love to sit here and say, boy, that kid, what is he doing? He's sitting out. I understand what he's doing. I don't like it. I'd like if he were to play. But I also know what he is. I also know what he is not. I also know at this point, in Caleb as well, Bateman as well, all those guys are kind of proven commodities. And I don't mean they're all first-round picks. I'm just meaning what they've done, they've shown. So if they've got limitations, it's been shown. They've got strength, it's been shown. So there's less for them to show on tape this year. So if they opt out, and they're opting out because somebody's in their ear telling them, you know what, why do you want to deal with the uncertainty of the season and the health and sickness and exposing yourself and exposing your family? Why don't you just, you know, isolate yourself by preparing for the draft? I'd love to sit here and tell you that that's going to be a negative reaction. I think it's a little bit selfish to some degree, but yet in today's environment, the COVID environment, I think we've got to look at the selfish, you know, part and say, you know what, how selfish is it? Everyone's going to have to decide for themselves if that means they're not a team player or they are. And I think in most of these cases, you're going to see that this doesn't reflect on their team-first attitude, even though they're doing something that benefits themselves, you know, and not their team.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get everything you provide.
LandryFootball.com is the housing center. You want to go there. That's where you can get access to behind the paywall information. Take advantage of the scouting season offer. It's only going to be there for another week or so. So get ready for the season. Yes, we're preparing for a season. We've got all the roster breakdowns in college, and now coming up, the NFL's coming up soon, all their roster breakdowns. So we'll get you a look from a coaching and scouting perspective of all the college and NFL rosters, players, teams, coaches, schemes. We've got it for you, all the breakdowns during the season, recruiting, all that as well. So take advantage of it. You can listen to the podcasts on there, sign up for them. Also, you can hit the follow Chris on Twitch, and it'll take you right to the Twitch channel where you can see all the programming. We're breaking out more and more programming. All the conferences are taken care of. We've got a midday show. Chuck Oliver is going to be on the show starting probably in a week or so. Recruiting shows, NFL draft shows, pro football show each and every night, 9 a.m. to midnight Eastern time. So we've got tons of it, too many to get to all of them. So check out the schedule. College football galore, lots of NFL, and recruiting the draft. We've got fantasy football. We've got it all covered for you.
Outstanding, Chris. See you next week, sir.
Take care.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Chris down in Alabama on Twitter, and then we'll take the break, says, good morning. Want to thank you for the show. He says, I just tuned in a few minutes prior. Now, that was a couple of minutes ago. We're moving our oldest to Southern Miss. It's going to be emotional for me, Bill. Heard you mention something about Coach Rush Probst. Can you fill me in? Well, Rush Probst, Rusty, by the way, Rusty Manziel was down at Valdosta High, and he's in South Georgia going to various schools. And anyways, Rush is the new head coach at Valdosta High. Now, that's not a new announcement, but he's the new coach there. And they just got news, or news just broke within the last half day, et cetera, that highly rated California quarterback Jake Garcia is moving all the way from California to Valdosta to play at that high school. Four-star, borderline five-star quarterback, ranked top 40 player in America, is going literally from coast to coast to play high school ball. California, of course, is not playing ball this summer or fall. So, and he's a midtermer. He's committed to Southern Cal, and he wants to play his senior year. So there you have it. Dave Biddle, right after the break, we'll head up to CBUS, Ohio. Mr. Dave Biddle, Bucknuts is his site. And trust me, folks, just like Landry, just like Rusty, he brings it. We're coming right back. Bob D. Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Starting to bunch up pretty good here on 65 southbound, approaching Trinity Lane. There's always a fender bender in that area, especially this time of the morning as it starts to get heavy, not only there, but down Ellington Parkway, coming out of Dixon County. That's still looking good. I-40 east from 840 all the way up into Kingston Springs. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check them out, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Mostly sunny with a high of 87. Mostly clear tonight, low 65. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high 90. And mostly clear tomorrow night, low 67. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
College sports. Bill King knows a few things.
Dave Biddle, Buck Nuts, very popular Buckeye site. Now, Dave, I want you to cut to it here. The teleconference, which was coaches only, Ryan Day is speaking. Harbaugh interrupts him. Give me the truth and then give me the rumor part about the we're going to hang 100 on you or whatever.
Yeah, the initial reports on the internet, Bill, was that they got into it on the call that, you know, that Ryan Day was talking and Jim Harbaugh interrupted him to say something about Ohio State was breaking rules, which turns out they were not with what they were doing with some of the on-field instruction. And then it was out, and that actually did happen. There was something like that happened on the call, and then there was some talk that Ryan Day said on the call to Jim Harbaugh, you know, you better hope that the Big Ten has a mercy rule because we're going to hang 100 on you. He didn't say that on the Big Ten call. It was what I was told from a couple of different sources. I was told there was a team meeting, and in that team meeting, this is just Ohio State's players and Ryan Day's assistant coaches, during that meeting, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, I'm sure, but also he was ticked off. So it's a little bit of both. Got his team fired up, and, you know, he said it in front of his team that, hey, they better – from what I was told, again, I wasn't there. I wasn't in this team meeting. From what I was told by two sources, what Ryan Day told his guys, listen, they better have a mercy rule this year because we're going to hang 100 on those guys, and everybody went crazy. So that's a coach firing his team up. Are they really planning on scoring 100 points against Michigan? No. Now they scored 62 and 56 the last 2 years against them, so a lot of Buckeye fans are saying, hey, they could hang 100 if they wanted to on them. So it makes for a good story, and something did happen on the actual Big Ten coaches call, and what I was told what actually happened was Ryan Day didn't say on that call again that we're going to hang 100 on you, Jim. He did say, how about I worry about my team and you worry about yours? So, you know, that's about as testy as it got on the actual call. And then in front of his team is when he said, you know, we're going to hang 100 on him. So, again, Bill, this is, I'm hearing all this, you know, I wasn't in the room where it happened, to use a Hamilton quote there. But, yeah, that's what I've heard from people that I trust profusely.
Yeah, because right when the show started today, Black called, and he's a big Buckeye fan, and he's been railing against Harbaugh from the beginning, and he's been right. I expected more out of Harbaugh than he's delivered to date. I think a lot of people did. And he keeps rubbing it in on me, which again, he's correct here. He predicted this would not turn out as well as everybody thought it probably would. But until I started going down your timeline, I didn't even know about this story. Now, when did this teleconference happen?
The teleconference happened, I believe, on Monday. I'm trying to think about my days are running together now.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure it was this Monday. It was either this Monday or like last Friday. So I think it was this Monday, though, is when it happened. And then the details started to get released on Tuesday. So I became privy to it on Tuesday, but it sounds like it all happened on Monday.
Wow. So I'm a couple days at least late on this. I had no idea about this. Now, did this take a couple of days to leak, or did this leak out? If it happened on Monday, was it out on Monday that this happened?
No, I didn't hear anything till Tuesday.
Okay. Okay.
I started hear something early in the day, and it sounded like, frankly, it sounded like BS, because I know, you know, not that I know Ryan Day that well, but I know him well enough where even if he wanted to say something, he wouldn't say something like that in a Big Ten call. Then I started to, you know, get, you know, dig in a little bit, talk to some people I trust, and I'm like, this has got to be a BS story, right? And they were like, well, actually, he said in front of the team. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that makes more sense. So part of it was true, part of it was BS. Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah, so, I mean, Ryan Day after the Clemson game last year, you could tell he was getting peppered about all these questions right after the game about the officiating and the fumble that was overturned and all these different things, and you could tell he wanted to say something, and he just kept it in. He kept it classy. So, you could tell he wanted to say something, but he was just like, you know, basically he's just said, listen, I appreciate your questions, but I don't want to say anything I'm going to regret. So the idea that he was going to say that on the Big Ten call itself, you know, with other, you know, Big Ten head coaches and administrators and you know, ADs, that just didn't add up. So, but privately in front of his team, getting his guys fired up, yeah, that made more sense, and I do believe that happened. But no, I don't think anybody, you know, I don't think anything leaked until Tuesday. That's when we reported it Tuesday evening. Finally, I put something up and kind of blew up yesterday. So you're not late, man. There's just a lot going on right now. We got football going on, and got a lot of sports going on right now. After having like no sports for 4 months, we've got like a deluge of sports, Bill. So you're good, my man.
Dave Biddle, Bug Nuts. Yeah, I'll tell you how newsy it is. There's a California kid, a borderline five-star quarterback, going from California to Valdosta, Georgia to play. So that's what kind of day we've got going here.
In case you go.
Amazing.
And in regard to Harbaugh, I'll say this, because you were saying like you were wrong, like that you thought he'd do better. I think everybody was. I'll never forget, I was in New Orleans getting ready to cover the first ever college football playoff. It was going to be Ohio State and Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. I'm in New Orleans watching the Jim Harbaugh introductory press conference, and I'm thinking, here we go. I remember saying it was five-year war. This will be the five-year war is what I was going to call it. I was thinking it was going to, you know, not that Urban was going to be take a back seat to him, but I thought, okay, they finally have a coach that's going to, you know, bring Michigan back to what they used to be, and it's going to be tit for tat with Ohio State like it was in the 70s. It's not going to be a 10-year war, I remember saying, because I didn't think Urban was going to stay that long, but I thought it was going to be like a 5-year war. It might be like 3-2 for one of the teams, and I never thought in a million years that Jim Harbaugh would be sitting here 0-5 against Ohio State with four of the games being blowouts. I don't know, man. It's hard to figure out because he was good at every stop. People say, well, he had Andrew Luck at Stanford. That's why he was good. Yeah, how do you explain him going to San Diego? Not San Diego State, San Diego, and turning them into like a – I know it's 1AA, but he was successful there. He was successful at Stanford. Obviously, he was successful with the 49ers. Not just the year they went to the Super Bowl, but his first year they got to the NFC Championship game, his first year. So I thought he'd be – not just more successful than this. I thought he'd be a lot more successful than this in Michigan. And he still could be. They're putting together a decent recruiting class this year. It's on Ohio State's level, but their 2021 recruiting class will be a top 10 class. So he's recruiting a little better this cycle.
I keep hearing, Dave, that behind the scenes, the Big Ten is very negative about the football season. Now, again, just because I hear that doesn't make it right or doesn't make it correct. But there seems to be more so in the Big Ten of the big leagues, which I consider the SEC and the Big Ten the two biggest. There seems to be a lot of negativity behind the scenes. Is that false or do you sense the same?
Depends on what part of the Big Ten. It seems like I'm reading a lot of stories out of like New Jersey where people are saying like we shouldn't play college football. It's like, I'll tell you, the day the Big Ten makes a decision based on Rutgers is the day the Major League Baseball makes a decision based on the Miami Marlins. You know what I mean? It's like here in Ohio, everybody wants football. I'm sure it's the same way in Michigan and, you know, some of the Pennsylvania, some of the real, you know, passionate fan bases in this conference. They all want football. Now, if you're talking about like administrators, I've heard that new commissioner Kevin Warren, new, he took over in January, but still feels new since Jim Delaney was there for like 50 years, it feels like.
Right.
I've heard that there's been, you know, Nothing major, but that he's been a little bit more conservative about trying to get back to playing football than maybe some of the ADs wanted. Like, for example, I've heard Gene Smith was kind of like, come on, let's get this going. Let's get this train moving. And Kevin Warren was a little bit more, you know, wanted to take things slow. Finally, they got the schedule released yesterday. And but Kevin Warren immediately said, that doesn't mean for sure we're playing. You know, he has to throw that out there. So I think there has been – I mean, it's all over the board, Bill. You know, some sports writers seem like they're almost rooting for – you know, not there not to be a season, and some sports writers are like, you know, they'll do anything for a season, and then you got, you know, the fans all want a season, it seems like. Now, maybe there's some fans that are, you know, are cautious, more cautious about it, but so it's a little all over the map, you know. It seems like most people want there to be football, but they're, I think probably what you're hearing, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, maybe from the Big Ten commissioner, from Kevin Warren, that not that he doesn't want football, obviously he wants football, but he might not be as, I don't know, gung-ho as maybe some Big Ten fans want him to be.
The state of Ohio, as you just alluded to, very prideful state when it comes to sports in general, but in this case, obviously, we're talking football. And a couple days ago, people were sending me links. Bill, the Governor DeWine rule will also include no fans at the pro football games or the Buckeye games, etc. And it also means that high schools have to test 72 hours before a game and then have their test results in hand for the game. It just crazy stuff. Like, and obviously those tests are very expensive. Which high schools could afford it? It'd be thousands and thousands of dollars. And then later I saw, Dave, where DeWine said, look, first of all, we don't even have a system in place where we could get some company to have enough tests to get us to the high school. So tell me, what is the state of Ohio rule right now about attendance at games or high schools, period?
Right now, no attendance, but Governor DeWine, I think, overall has done a good job here. There's going to be stuff that everybody's, you know, you're not going to make everybody happy. I think overall he's done a really good job. He's level-headed, and he did say for now there's no going to be no fans. But he left himself wiggle room. And the way I took that, I could be wrong here, was that's the rule for now, and, you know, there's a good chance that'll change. The numbers need to start going the right way. We've kind of leveled off here in Ohio. We were going to doing well and then not doing well. Now we've kind of leveled off, so that's good. He has a press conference later today. I'm curious what he's going to say. But, yeah, for now, you know, no attendance. And it's, you know, Major League Baseball has already said you can't have attendance anyway. So even if the Reds and Indians wanted to, they couldn't right now. So I don't put too much stock into that. You know, if the numbers get where they need to be, I'm sure – Governor DeWine is going to come out and say you can have fans at Ohio State football games. You can have fans at Bengals and, you know, Browns games if the NFL allows it. Frankly, Bill, you know, I hope we have fans, obviously, but, like, all I care about is I want there to be football. Like, I, you know, like, we're going to have fans in the stands again at some point. You know, that's like, we're going to football again at some point, but I want us to make sure we get this football season in. If we have fans, that's icing on the cake. Let's make sure we have a football season. So I do think eventually, if we do have a football season, which I think we will, I think eventually this fall, Governor DeWine will loosen that up a little bit and we'll allow fans in the stands. That's just my guess, but man, you know, that's a problem I want to have, is we're one day arguing about why can't we have fans in the stands for all these great college football games that are on TV. Like, I want to have that discussion, Bill. That means we're going to have football. So
I
want
to have
that debate one day. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. That's number of people in the stands or what have you is not today's most pressing issue. Now, but back to the high schools. Didn't DeWine either clearly or more clearly define, look, we can't accommodate the 72-hour rule for high schools having a test and all that? They've backed off that, at least, or they backed off the theory that that is what that meant, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. You
know, we're even seeing it in Major League Baseball where it's like, we were all like, for months, myself included, like, we got to get these rapid tests, right? Well, they have the rapid tests. The problem is we don't have the rapid results. Like, even for Major League Baseball, they'll send them off, you know. Like, I root for the Reds, unfortunately. Not in the 70s, it wouldn't have been, unfortunately, but it is now. And they've had situations where, like, they thought a guy tested positive, Mike Moustakas, Joey Votto. They got Votto back pretty fast. But Mike Moustakas, they thought he had COVID Turns out he didn't, but he had to miss three games because they couldn't get the test back in time. And this is Major League Baseball. So, yeah, I think Governor DeWine realized, listen, this is not a tenable situation for high schools to have all these rapid tests, which are not, you know, again, the test itself is rapid. It takes like 5 or 10 seconds, but no rapid results. So, yeah, he backed off of that, and rightfully so, I think.
Quick story. Oh, about, and I don't even know, 10, 12 years ago, whenever it was, I'm at a baseball Little League park, you know, that's got the Little League diamond. It's kind of like a quadrangle. There's the big field over here. There's the youth field over here. There's the medium field over here. And I'm walking, and there's a guy on the pitcher's mound. And you always, you know, when you're walking by, you'll watch the pitcher, whoever he is, throw one pitch just to see what he's got. Usually there's nothing to it. And there's a kid on the mound. I think this is about a 14U team, who's probably 5'10", about 130 pounds. And I see this kid wind up, and they're calling him Sunshine.
I know exactly what you're talking about, I bet.
Oh, you know that. And I swear to God, I think he hit 90 on that pitch. Now, I'm like on the third base side, but I'm up against the fence, so I'm close. And I just – my first reaction is, did I just – I mean, you can walk by a Little League field 100 times, Dave, 1,000 times, and not see anything. So I'm thinking, did I just see that or am I crazy? And it was Sonny Gray.
Yeah, Sonny Gray is awesome. He is awesome. The Reds, I tell you what, I love having him. And I didn't even know that he was a state champion quarterback in high school. Like,
Dave,
now that makes
Dave,
up two time, right? What's that?
The Vanderbilt coach, who's probably the best baseball coach on the planet Earth in college ball, Tim Corbin, says this kid could have been a Doug Flutie. That's how good he was as a quarterback.
I believe it. He's a tough dude. Like, when I heard that, I didn't know it, but I was like, that makes sense. That's Sonny Gray right there. He's a leader. He's tough. Yeah, I can picture that. He's the little leaguer. We were like, who's this little kid? And all of a sudden, he's like throwing like 90-mile-an-hour heat. That sounds about right. I love that story. Sonny Gray is awesome. We
all
got
right,
that
I'll
going for us, man, for the Reds. We got a good pitching staff. That's about it.
I'll give you one other quick story, and I'm running real late, and that's on me. That's my fault. Let me tell you how tough this kid is. He's in high school, and I think he's a sophomore, maybe a freshman. And it's the day of a football game, and his dad had a job where he worked overnights. His dad gets killed in a car wreck overnight. That day, after learning this, Sonny and his family, Sonny said, Dad would want me to play. He suited up and played a football game.
My goodness gracious, as a high school kid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about a young, you know, not that there's a difference between 18 and 16, but I think he was like a sophomore. Can you imagine that?
No, I couldn't imagine that. I mean, I absolutely could not imagine that. And I heard the story about his father passing away when he was in high school, but I didn't know that part of it. That's
incredible.
Tell you what, he's a different breed, man.
Hey, Dave, appreciate you, buddy. Stay in touch, man.
Good talking to you. Go football.
Yep, there you go. No, I agree. I'm way late. Got to take the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Latest crash is going to be in Madison, right at OHB at North Graycroft. That's OHB and Graycroft. Harding Place near I-24. That's a minor wreck being moved to the side. It's just now actually starting to pick up coming through Kingston Springs on I-40 eastbound out of Dixon County. Barnes Music City Soul Food is now open behind that Bank of America on Nolensville Pike at OHB. Check it out, barnesmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on DeMumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of a kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French press coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to. Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
If there's a drama stream anywhere in college sports, the Bill King Show is there to break it down.
I don't think it's possible to have three guests. Dave Biddle, Chris Landry, and Rusty Manziel. Better than that own it better than that. I know I say that a lot, but I'm going to keep saying it. Josh on Twitter. Bill, ask Biddle if Ryan Day will at least go for two a few times when they're up big against TTUN. If you don't know your acronyms, that team up north, TTUN. And then when he's asked why he went for two, he says, because I couldn't go for three. That's a Woody Hayes thing. You don't know your history. Yeah, that's a Woody Hayes analogy. Yeah, Woody once responded, why'd you go for two? Well, because they don't have one where you can go for three. Maybe they need to have that. Yeah, what if they had a rule where you could go for three? Well, you could kick a few. I understand that. But I'm talking about like after the touchdown. The PAT or the play after the touchdown. Not that that's what that stands for, but there was something you could do to go for three. Well, maybe it is a field goal. Like you have to line up and try a 50-yard field goal. That'll give you three. On top of the 6 points you just got. Back to Tim. Tim says, Bill, what's the latest rumor and news on the SEC schedule announcement? I don't know. Thought it would be this week. Might be this week. But there is nothing that I know of specifically. Ed, down in Alabama earlier. Bill, I wish I had one of those biscuits. Yeah, that was from when Georgia came to town to play Vanderbilt. We did the show from the Omni, and Rusty came by. We had quite a few of you come by, and we had those brisket biscuits there that were very, very good. Georgia dog. Bill, the state of Georgia put in a lottery a couple of years ago. 90% of the money goes to schools. Says, my hometown of Bainbridge, Georgia, is about 20,000 people. They built a $60 million high school. That's called the lottery being used right. I agree with you. 614 Mercy Rule Rob brings up that we're going to hang 100 on you. Apparently, that did not happen during the teleconference, according to Mr. Dave Biddle. Allegedly, apparently, supposedly, reportedly. Brent, Bill, do you think Rush Probst can keep his bleep in his pants long enough to keep his job? I think Rush is, well, I mean, I don't know, but I would assume he's kind of, Rush is getting on up there now. He's not old, but he ain't a spring chicken. I don't think that's a problem for Rush right now. I'm just estimating. I don't know that. Yeah, Rush Probst is a hellacious coach, but he comes with a lot of baggage in many areas. Johnny Vegas said, Bill took some fine folks from Nashville on a sunset trip last night. Vitamin C sailing charter. Thanks you, Bill, for the radio plugs. When you get down this way, come sailing. I owe you a trip on the house. When we get down there, we will hit you up, Mr. Johnny Vegas. I promise you that. Yeah, if you go down to Destin, that area, and you want a nice sailboat trip, Johnny Vegas is your man. He's got a business down there. He does that. So if you need information, again, it's called Vitamin C SEA Sailing Charters. Hour 3 coming up.